tell you, when you stop and consider all he has done, what a good Bible study this morning. If you were in Bible study, you know exactly of which I speak. When God the Creator and the God that parted the Red Sea and God that spoke and everything that was, you know, oh my, he's God, amen. We noted in our study this morning, as Brother Scott led us, that that one G was capital and the other G was small. And I love the capital G. Amen. Right. Amen. Thank you, Brother Randy, for reminding us of those activities. And he just didn't remind you. And are you listening? If you're listening, hold up your hand. We have service here at 6 o'clock tonight. And by the way, we're not so much Hebrew that our day ends at 6 o'clock. The Lord's Day, by the way, when is the Lord's Day?
Every day.
Hey, you got it. So, what a blessed privilege that we could worship on this particular day in the morning and in the evening. And hopefully our worship in the evening. Brother Randy, you're speaking tonight?
Pastor Jim.
I thought he spoke last Sunday night. Okay, all right. They don't tell me that. I'm just kidding with you. Aren't you glad you're in God's house this morning? By the way, if you really feel like a coat ought to be worn in the pulpit, it's hanging in my office. And we'll let you stand right there with it on if you want to. But while you're doing that, try to decide if you're going to do that. Turn to the book of Numbers, please. That's in the Old Testament, about the third, Genesis, fourth book in the Old Testament. And you go over there to about chapter 14, verse 24. Now, if we backed up a chapter, we would get our subject for today. Located in chapter 13, verse 6. So we're going to look at both of those. Chapter 13, verse 6, and chapter 14, verse 24. And we all, don't you love the Word of God? I say, don't you love the Word of God?
Amen.
Good. Don't you really love the Word of God?
Amen. Yes.
Think of how and what and all of that. If you didn't have the Word of God, would you stand just to honor the Word of God? Now, if you're not physically able, I understand that, and God understands that. But look at chapter 13, verse 6. From the tribe of Joshua, or of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Now come over to 14, chapter 24. We're going to look at the same guy now, this guy Caleb, and we're going to talk about him today. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. Father, as we look at your word today, and I trust that the Holy Spirit of God will guide and direct, and that we will get that which you want us to get. We'll perceive and see that which you wish that we should perceive and see. As this great man of God followed you fully, he loved you completely. May we see him in the capacity that he serves you in this text. May your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and use this word to give us direction. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I will give you just a little bit of instruction. Jesus said in John chapter 16, this about the Holy Spirit, that he would come, and when he came, Jesus said, I'm going to send him. And by the way, he says, I'm going to send another one just like me. That's the Holy Spirit. That word there, the Greek word is paraclete, from which we get our word parakeet. You know, one that's going to parakeet me, said Jesus, and what he's come. That is the Holy Spirit, that third person in the Godhead. When he's come, he's going to teach you, he's going to lead you, and all the things, listen, all the things that I've done, you can do. And boy, then Jesus puts a stretch on my imagination. I don't know what he does with yours, but he says, and greater things than I've done, you'll do, because he's with you. Now, that's reflected again as we get into this story. We don't see this guy, Caleb, very much. In fact, I have that imagination that wonders. I woke up at about 2 o'clock this morning wondering, what in the world did Caleb do back in Goshen? Now, in Goshen, they were in slavery. In Goshen, the assignment was, you remember, making brick. In Goshen, when Moses began to say, "Let my people go," says the Lord God Almighty, the great I Am. In Goshen, they said, "Well, I tell you what we're going to do. Rather than letting them go, we're going to double their task." You ever get hard in your life? You ever get tough and strenuous and you wonder, how am I going to make it? Well, God said, Pharaoh said, "I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to go get their own straw. They're going to make the same amount of brick." Do you understand that concept? That straw, the more brick you make, the less plentiful the straw is. What are we going to do now? Well, you're going to go get more straw and you're going to make more brick. And I don't know whether Caleb was a straw gatherer or he was one of those guys that rolled up his gown and tromped in that mud to make the brick. And, you know, we don't know what he did, but he wasn't outstanding in any capacity of the word. As Moses went back to face the courts of Pharaoh, he took with him his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, and Aaron spoke for him, and he did that on his own. But Caleb comes on the scene. And the one thing that can be said that makes him more outstanding than any other guy at that particular time was that he fully, totally, wholly trusted God. Can you say that this morning? I trust the Lord. Because the question surfaces here in the book of Numbers. Is the hand or the arm of God? Thank you. We sang that song, "Your arms embrace me, your arms reach out and hold me." Boy, and there's another song, "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." Boy, isn't that a great comfort? Safe in the arms of Jesus. And so here's Caleb coming on the scene. He represents a whole tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he's sent in by Moses to spy out the land. And God has said to Moses, and Moses has said to the people, "This is a land full of milk and honey." Now, if you don't quite understand that, let me tell you what he said. He said, "This land has plenty. It's just what you slaves out of Egypt who are Hebrews, that's what you need. You need a place just flowing." That's what he says. It's just flowing with milk and honey. Wouldn't you like to have a paycheck flowing in every day? It wouldn't be bad, would it? Well, that's what it is. And what I want you to do, since they kindly set their heels in the clay and would not go in, you just send in some spies, one from each tribe, and there'll be 12 of them, and let them spy out the land. And oh, that's a beautiful story. You ought to go to the book of the Bible and read that story of those spies. But anyway, when they came back, they were carrying one bunch Now, I can't remember, and wouldn't you know, when Peggy Lorraine and I lived in the Ozarks, we had a grape vineyard cluster bunch. What do you call that package of grapes that grow there together? Whatever you call them. Huh?
Cluster.
Thank you. I needed some help there. You came right through for it. That cluster of grapes was on a pole, and a man on each of the pole was required to carry them. That's a pretty good grape bunch. Cluster. Okay. And this is it. Just like God said, milk and honey. Milk and honey. By the way, question class, has God ever bailed out on anything he promised you? Now, think with me for a minute. You got your thinking cap on? Well, anyway, your hair parted right for thinking? Think with me. What's the greatest promise God ever made you? Eternal life, you're right. Salvation in Jesus Christ. Before the foundations of the world was laid, Christ, God's Son, was offered for our sins. By the way, he was offered on Calvary. Now then, with that salvation in Christ Jesus comes the promise of eternal life. John 3:16, that ever kid knows quote, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," who's him? Jesus, "would not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, by the way, if eternal life's not good enough for you, try everlasting. That just goes on and on and on. No end. Amen. Listen to them again. No end. Amen. It's always going to be, right? From when? From when? The moment you accepted Jesus Christ. The moment in Romans 12, where the heart man believes unto righteousness. Ladies, you fit into that too. And with the mouth, confessions made unto salvation. For the scripture says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Big question class. Have you done that? Have you called on the Lord? Have you asked him to come into your heart? Have you said to him, "I will confess you as my Lord and Savior"? Same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now listen, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what's the greatest gift God's ever given you? Did he welch on it? In fact, yeah, right there. Oh, John chapter 8. Come on down there about verse 28. He makes his promise. "My Father holds you in his hand, and I'm in the Father's hand, and no one, no power, no angel can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus." I mean, you're there. You're set. Now then, are there other promises? Now remember, this is a land of milk and honey. Did you hear about the two farmers? One of them was a believer. In fact, he was a good deacon in the church, and he was just faithful. I mean, you know, no matter how his crop looked, he was on Sunday, he was in church. are you listening? On Sunday night, he was in church. And on Wednesday night, he was there for prayer meeting. And on this one particular year, the other farmer, who was a non-believer, said, "Look here, man, you go to church every Sunday, you won't take off when your crop's growing up and farm it on Sunday, and you stop and go on Wednesday night, and now look, I've grown a better crop than you have, and I'll reap a better harvest than you're going to reap. What do you got to say about that? And the farmer looked him right down and said, well, all I got to say is God don't settle up on in October. Did you hear me? Now, you got to be a farmer, you know, a little bit about that. You know, God does not settle up in October. But one day, listen, one day we're going to stand before Almighty God. Oh, I pray this for you, that He's going to say, enter in, you good and faithful servant. You've been a ruler over a few things. Now I want to make you ruler. It's a land of milk and honey that you're going to. You're not going to reap that much here. Those guys that stand up on TV and say, oh, now, if you want to get rich, you just send me $1,000. I want to tell you something. You're going to get $1,000 more poor. Is poorer a good word? Some English major here. You get $1,000 poorer. But listen. You wanna put your treasure in heaven, amen? And I don't care, you know, I mean, if it gets tough here, guess what? It ain't gonna get tough for very long. Because you see, that little span, that one that I went flying by wasn't intending to. I want you to know that I did not intend to go flying by 80. Because David said, you know, life is threescore ten. Or perchance, it's fourscore. That's 80 years, but it's like a vapor. And listen, believe me, I went by that 80, and guess what? It's just like a vapor. It's gone. And what is that? Let's just stick my 83 years up against forever. I mean, that's not even a blink of an eye, is it? It's a land of milk and honey. And Ola, we're going to go on with Caleb now. Caleb said, God said, Caleb, fully trust me. And Caleb said, hey, guys, let's get our fighting shoes on and go get them. Now, there was just one problem. Between Kadesh Barnea, where they went in and where they came back and brought the report, and Cana, there were some giants. You know what a giant is, don't you? My son Kendall, our son Kendall, was teaching a vacation Bible school up in Escanaba, Michigan, up in the Upper Peninsula. He was talking about David and Goliath. By the way, Goliath is of this Anak tribe. He's one of those Philistines. And this little boy piped up, said, if you think that's something, my pop is as tall as that tree. And he was. Did you hear me? His pop was that tall. Tall as that tree. And it was a big tree. In that boy's eyes. Now you're saying, preacher, where in the world are you going with this? Well, hang on. I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. They said, we ran into that fortified city, got walls around it, and the Philistines are there. They're the sons of Anak. Are you listening? And we were in our eyes before them. This is what we saw. We saw grasshoppers. We were like grasshoppers as we stood before those giants. Where were they? Well, class, I think so. Because the very minute they saw themselves as grasshoppers, guess how the giants saw them? It's grasshoppers. You made an A. Get your silver star. You see, let me make a point or two right quickly here. As New Life Fellowship Church sees itself right here in this part of Huntington, right here with the needs that just are all around us, right here where, boy, you know, the group that just left here went back to Alabama and said, boy, I'll tell you one thing, you don't have to search around here very long to find something to do, do you? So we can see ourselves. Listen, folks, we can see ourselves as grasshoppers, and guess how Huntington's going to see us? It's grasshoppers. But we got Caleb. And you know what Caleb was? He was a giant killer. He said, I'll take the first city. I'll take the annex. I'll take the Philistines. I'll run that bunch out of town. I got a bit ahead. Listen, have you seen any giants at Huntington? There's a dopey one going around big time right now. I understand. I'm not out on the street that much, but I understand for those who are out on the street that much that dope is on a rampage. I read in the paper this morning that in Fort Wayne, dope is on a rampage. That's a pretty big giant, folks. Is the hand of God wax short that he cannot handle that? No, it isn't. But I will tell you something. He'll pick up some grass. Some grasshoppers like us and send us out there. Well, preacher, we're just not too well equipped to handle that, are we? No. No, you're not. You remember? We're going to fast forward now just real quickly. We're just going to fast forward about, a couple of hundred years. And there's a kid going out, and he's facing one of these Philistines called Goliath. You remember that story? That's when my son was teaching his kid, when the kid said, my daddy's as big as that tree. Well, listen, folks. New Life is as big as it sees itself. Now, if you're a thinking person, and you sit down and you apply logic to what's going on here, this does not make one lick of sense. Do you know that? It really doesn't. We ought to be trying those things that we're trying. We ought to be doing even those things we ought to do. When Jimmy and Carla came into our office in Fort Wayne about 16, 17 years ago and said, will you help us start a street ministry in Huntington? Now, I hate to confess this, but you know what I said to him? Son, it ain't going to work. But the hand of God is not short. 40 years later, when they finally go all the way around and cross the Jordan River up there by Jericho, and God says, let me show you don't you love to see God demonstrate his power? You know, when you've been on your face before Almighty God and you've got a friend that's lost and on their way to an eternal hell and hopeless without, and God just reaches down with the Holy Spirit and touches that life and changes it and saves it. Don't you love that? God said, let's do it. Caleb says, I love it. Now, when I was 40, I wanted to take that city. And then he said, and I am just as able now as I was when I was 40, and he's 85 years old. You remember. They marched around Jericho, tooted their horns. Next day they marched around Jericho, tooted their horns. until the seventh day, and they marched around seven times, and they tooted their horn seven times, and amazingly, God breathed. Down came the walls of Jericho. That's all it took. That's all. Listen, all our concern should be was, is God with us? Can we trust this God wholly, fully, absolutely, totally? Can we trust this God? It seems to me, listen to me. It seems to me that if we have trusted Him with the most valuable possession we possess, that's our soul. Now, if we trust that our eternity, the eternity of our souls to Him, what else is there that would compare to that? So I want to extend to you, and there's a whole lot more to this, and I might pick it up next Sunday. We'll just see what God wants. Let me ask you. And first of all, I think we have, there's been so much that we've allowed, I don't know who we've allowed or what we've allowed, but we've allowed to get twisted. We will pray, and you will pray today, that if there's one person here that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and will spend eternity in hell if they're not saved, you'll pray fervently today that the Holy Spirit of the living God will touch that individual and bring them to their knees, asking Christ to come in. And that's exactly what we ought to do. But listen to me. Here's the point I want to make, and I want you to hear it. Until we, as believers, we who have experienced the mighty hand of God, the salvation of the Lord, until we are first willing to wholly, fully make a commitment, wholly, fully trust God, I don't think we can expect the Holy Spirit of God to work in the lives of those who are not believers.
That's right.
I could be wrong. I hope I am wrong, but I really think. So the invitation is this. If you cannot say from the very bottom of your, wherever that's at, of your heart, I wholly, fully trust this God whose hand is not waxed short, whose arms can reach out and embrace. If you can't say that, I challenge you, come this morning on your knees or here with I, and Randy will be here if we need him. Peggy and others will be here to counsel with you if you need it. Say, Lord, I fully, wholly, completely trust you. And then I'm going to give an invitation for those who have not accepted Christ, not sure of that, to come and accept him.